the epistle for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let everyone test his own work, and so he will have glory in himself only, and not in comparison with another. For each one will bear his own burden. Let him who is instructed in the word share all good things with his teacher. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh from the flesh also shall reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit from the Spirit also will he reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not grow tired. For in due time we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of the faith. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 7. At that time, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went up and touched the stretcher, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. But fear seized upon all, and they began to glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has risen amongst us, and God has visited his people." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So a few considerations today on the epistle, or aspects of the epistle of today's Mass. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So a consideration today primarily on these words of the epistle. All the epistle is on that subject, but primarily on these words of the epistle. On the correction of others, the just correction of others. Obviously, if someone doesn't commit a crime or doesn't do anything wrong and you correct them because you're angry, that's just something simple. Sinful. Just simply sinful. But there are times when there is the time for just correction. And what about this just correction? Instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, says St. Paul. What is the other option? Perhaps there are many other options. But the essential other option, the primary other option, is to instruct or correct such a one with a spirit of self-righteousness. This is the most common way that we correct those that are wronged, that wrong us, or that do wrong, including those that we cannot physically punish. For instance, we are angry, violently angry, at the things going on in the country. What the president is doing, or what the pope is doing, or what the bishop is doing, or what the priest is doing. Things that perhaps we have no direct control over, and which may perhaps be wrong, and which may need to be corrected, or may need to be said, something needs to be said about it. And we speak about these so-called legitimate things with the spirit of self-righteousness. It is a big problem with those who have choleric temperaments. The spirit of self-righteousness. In the correction of children, it happens. and the correction of the sheep for a priest, and the correction of his flock, and the correction of an employee who needs to be corrected. We generally correct with the spirit of self-righteousness and anger, and not the spirit of meekness. Now, it is important to note that this correcting with the spirit of meekness, according to St. Paul, is not the virtuous thing to do. It is the law of God. There's a difference. There's ways to correct with meekness. As we learn to correct with meekness, it will become a virtuous thing. And virtue is the law of God as well. But he doesn't say this is a better thing to do. He doesn't say that. He says it's the law of God. Those who do such do the law of God. And later on he says, God is not mocked. We'll discuss that in a moment. But those who do such things do the law of God. It is the law of God, according to St. Paul, that we correct with meekness and not the spirit of self-righteousness. When we get down to the real reason why we correct people, and the real reason why we want wrongs to be righted, normally, the real reason is my personal offense. If there is a criminal that is let loose, we are not overly upset. But if that criminal did a great crime, murdered my brother or my sister or my relative or my friend, then he must be brought to justice. And I will put the entirety of my being and all of my energy into bringing that man to justice. It's this use of the word justice that St. Paul is referring to when he says, God is not mocked. We claim we want them to be brought to justice when what we want is vengeance. The same is true when we are verbally slighted in the lesser areas. Someone offends us, we want to get even. Because after all, we have to set things right. And we use the word right, and we use the word justice, and we use the words that are all connected about truth and justice and goodness and making things correct, so that this evil will just keep going and going and going if we don't correct it. And it has to be corrected with an iron hand and an iron fist and an iron tongue. And this is all done in the name of justice. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that one of the greatest punishments or sufferings that a man can experience is to be mocked. It is worse than experiencing physical pain, than being beaten in a serious manner. To be really mocked is a much more serious pain that we feel. God is no different. And therefore, when it says in the epistle today, God is not mocked, this means that he is exceedingly, not offended, but exceedingly offended by this self-righteous anger. We are mocking God, using his terminology, justice, righteousness, truth, in order to get vengeance in some way. This will receive a serious punishment. There's an example in the life of St. John the Almoner, not St. John the Apostle, but St. John that gave alms, St. John the Almoner, some saint in the Middle Ages, in which there were two businessmen. Each of them cheated each other in business, and each of them was exceedingly angry about the cheating of each other in business, and they hated each other, and they constantly were trying to go at each other in some way in business. And St. John tried to get them to make peace with each other and to overcome their hate, and they wouldn't do it. So finally, one day, St. John went to the house of one of the businessmen, and he said, I want you to come to my Mass tomorrow morning, and I want you to serve my Mass. And so the man went the next morning, and he served the Mass with St. John. And at that time, it was about 600, 700 years ago, it was the custom of the faithful to say the Pater Noster, the Our Father, out loud with the priest during the low Mass. He said the Mass, the canon of the Mass. He went to the Pater Noster, and he said the Pater Noster, and the man who was serving with him said the Pater Noster with him, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then St. John stopped the Mass, And he turned around. And he said, I will not continue this Mass. You will be judged according to the words that you have just spoken. You just said with me in the holy sacrifice of the Mass before God Himself, who is now present on the altar, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You are going to be judged according to the words that you have just spoken. If you do not forgive the other businessman who has done you wrong, you will die and you will go to hell. And hence there's no point for me continuing this Mass praying for you. And the man was so shaken that he decided to forgive his neighbor. And it is interesting, it says, instruct such a one with meekness, in the spirit of meekness. It is interesting that in the Latin, the word is lenitatis. Lenitatis. Leniency. That the spirit of our correction as Catholics of those under us is the spirit of leniency. Not strictness. Spirit of leniency. And this spirit of leniency does not go along with self-righteousness. And normally when we associate true justice, even if Mr. Jones is found guilty for murdering his wife, and he is brought to trial, and the judge and the jury find him guilty, all the evidence is there, and he admits his own guilt, at the end of the trial, the judge will say, Mr. Jones, this court has found you guilty of the murder of your spouse. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you will be hanged. He speaks with a certain calmness of manner. He does not speak with violence or anger, even though this is a very great crime, which is going to receive a very great punishment. That is a just way of communicating. It is not a request of Jesus Christ in our correction of our neighbors, particularly those that are under us, to correct with harshness. It is not His request that we correct with meekness. It is a demand, and one for which it is made clear in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. When we say that Paternoster, as soon as the consecration or the canon of the Mass is over with, that we admit as Catholics, that we accept, it's a condition of entering our church, that we accept that we are going to be judged by God as we forgive others. Which is why Bishop Tissier told us in our retreat, the priest retreat, I mentioned it a few months ago, that the prudent man is the forgiving man. Because in the end, I just want to get into heaven. In the end, I just want to be forgiven. And I just found out a little trick. And the trick is, if I'm lenient to the guys under me, and if I forgive them, then I will be forgiven. I don't care about other people. I want to get to heaven. And so for my sake, for my good, for my prudence, I will forgive my neighbor. This is the prudent man, says St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine. It is necessary that we are lenient with those beneath us, and that even when it is time to give a serious punishment, that it will be done so with a certain spirit. And the spirit is the next words of the epistle. Even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's the key to how we carry ourselves. We too are guilty of crime. What was the problem with the Pharisees when they brought the woman who was guilty of adultery before Christ? She was guilty. And according to the law of God, which Jesus Christ Himself being God, He's the one that made the law. According to the law of God, she must be stoned to death for her adultery. The Pharisees only wanted the law of God to be followed. What was the problem? This woman was caught committing adultery. She needs to be put to death. That's the law. That's the law that you made if you say you're God. They thought they had Jesus Christ in a trap. If he said yes, she must be condemned, then he was not merciful. If he said no, then he was denying his own law. And so he responded with, "Which the one who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." He was more offended by the Pharisees and their self-righteousness than he was by the sin of the adultery. He said, "Who are you to say you are innocent? He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And he looked into their hearts and he knelt down and he wrote down names. According to St. Augustine, he wrote down names. Teresa, Anne. He wrote down the names of the girls that each one of them had been with. And they recognized the names. And they walked away from the eldest even to the youngest. This spirit of meekness in the correction of our neighbor is essential. And even if we correctly correct our neighbor, in other words, give them a punishment that they should receive, but we do not give it with the spirit of meekness, we will receive a severe punishment from God. Even if we're doing the right physical thing, we will still receive a severe punishment from God. So you who are spiritual, construct such a one with a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And then here is a warning to the self-righteous. It's a big problem in marriage, particularly with girls, because they believe they have to punish their husbands on a regular basis, or else they're going to keep doing what they're doing. See, husbands do nothing but commit crimes. Wives have to get even with their husbands so that they don't commit these crimes anymore. Now, if they're really nice to their husbands when they commit crimes, then they're just going to keep on doing it. And they're going to think it's okay to keep being cold or malicious or whatever the problem is. And therefore, they have to, in order for the sake of justice, for the sake of righteousness, torture their husbands. It's a law in marriage. At least all the marriages that I have dealt with. It's a law in marriage. But in any case, here is the warning of St. Paul concerning this problem of self-righteousness. For anyone who thinks he's something whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. First of all, you're not God. You're not the one being offended. God's the one being offended. So therefore, you don't have the right to stand up and say, "You've offended me," since it is only God who is offended. When you stand up and say, "I've been offended, you've offended me," you're acting as though you are something, whereas you are nothing. Those are the infallible words of God. First problem, don't think you're something when you're nothing. Second thing, to avoid this problem of self-righteous correction, remember that everyone is to test his own work. He will have glory in himself only, and that he is going to be punished or rewarded for his own actions. So in other words, do not think you will be harmed by the evil action of others. I am going to be judged for my actions only. I'm going to glory in my good only. And therefore, no one else who is doing evil can harm that. And therefore, it's no problem for me to let it go. I'm not going to be harmed by that. You see, the mistake of the devil that he tries to put into the mind of the self-righteous corrector is that you have to stop this hard and you have to stop this evil now, because if you don't, it's going to destroy you later. And St. Paul says, no, that's not true. There's only one person that can destroy me, and that's me. There's only one person that can be gloried from my good actions, and that's me. I am going to be rewarded and punished for my own actions and not for the actions of others. And therefore, I don't have to worry about this self-righteous hatred or this self-righteous correction. And so it's important to overcome the self-righteous correction. There's a positive way of overcoming it. We each of us run into difficulties every day. One way to deal with it is to be upset about it and want to correct it, want to solve, want to get, there's a problem, I got to fix that, there's a problem, I got to fix that, there's a problem, I've got to fix that. That's one way of looking at it. Or it's got to be corrected, somebody's got to do something about it, somebody has to stop this. The other way is what St. Paul says at the end of the epistle, do not grow tired in doing good. That's what he says the answer is. Do not grow tired in doing good. Sometimes we're tired when we do good. And then he says, do good to all men, not some, not most. Do good to all men and do not grow tired, because one of these days you're going to sleep. And the sleep that St. Paul is talking about is death. And you're going to rest forever with God in heaven. You don't have much time. The night is coming. You don't have much time. Spend this time doing good to all men. And then we will find that our focus changes and the problem of violent correction will go away. So do not grow tired in doing good to all men. That's the solution. Positive solution laid out by St. Paul. Do not relax in doing good. Usually when we're tense, it's because we're angry. We're not tense about doing good. We're tense because we're angry. Or we're with great intensity because we're playing a football game that we really like to play. But when it comes to doing good, we are not intense in our doing good. We do it half-heartedly. We do not relax, says St. Paul, in doing good. And do not grow tired. So don't ever worry when someone says you're doing too much. I'll tell you right now, you're not. No one is. Not even the saints. We can never do too much. It's not possible. Not for us. Maybe God can, but we can't. We must not relax, or we must not grow tired in doing good. And then we won't have time to worry about everyone's evil and everyone's anger. And then when we have to correct someone, it's going to be with the spirit of lenitatis, the spirit of leniency, the spirit of meekness. And our goal is to make them better, not to bring about justice, whatever that is. So let's try to develop this spirit of meekness and to correct our neighbor as God wishes us to correct him. And pray for our school to begin our new school year. And that our kids, the children in the school, we began with the Mass of the Holy Ghost, that the children in the school be filled with Christ, and that they come out saints on the other side. We need real men who are not going to grow tired in doing good. And the same thing with the young ladies. So we have a little less than 50 kids in our school this year. Keep them in your prayers. And hopefully we'll have a few more in the next couple weeks. We're hunting down some stragglers. But we'll find them. And they need to be filled with Christ. And all of us need to be filled with Christ. And the spirit of Christ is the spirit of charity. There isn't another spirit. So let's fill ourselves with that spirit of charity and learn what it means to truly and properly correct when we are in authority. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.